The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have the well-known Bob Gourley. He's a co-founder and partner of a company called Cognitio.
Yes. How do you say it? Good morning, John. Cognitio.
Cognitio. C-O-G-N-I-T-O. Cognitio. And I have to tell you why I have Bob in the studio here. You know, I've done 392 interviews, and when people are walking out in the hallway, I always kind of put my arm around them and go, can you recommend someone really smart? And I've had like five people say, well, Bob Gourley's pretty smart. And I said, no way. And I said, no, he's really good. I said, no way. And finally, after four or five people, Bob, I had, okay, I'll call Bob up and invite him in the studio. But you have a strong reputation in town, Bob, for having a real breadth of information on many different topics and also some fairly technical deep dives as well. So you've got a great reputation, and that's why I want you to come in here and maybe share some of that brain power with our audience.
Well, thanks for saying that. And maybe I just put up a good facade, but I do love to talk.
No, it's more than talk. It's think and write, and there's so many different aspects of your career. I looked in your background, and I saw, well, let's start off with 20 years in the Navy. Well, that's a career in of itself. And three master's degrees? Really? Three different sure. master's degrees? And, oh, by the way, all kinds of conferences and newsletters and websites. And oh, by the way, did I mention the Synergy Forum? And oh, by the way, there's a book. It's like, so I don't know, where do we start here? But tell us about your background, how you wound up with all this wide range of information.
Well, it all started, I guess, I was a bartender in Nashville, and it just...
Off as a bartender.
So that started it all.
That's, couldn't play the guitar, so no. You were a bartender.
So, you know, and you learn how to build trust with people, look them right in the eye, yeah. And remember their drink, and from there, I became a naval intelligence officer, a fantastic career doing what we called OPINTEL, operational intelligence, where you fuse all the information together. Lessons learned from back then are just so directly relevant to this modern world of cybersecurity. So after 20 years in the Navy, the last four of which were doing intelligence support to computer network defense at this organization, JTF-CND, I retired from the Navy, worked at TRW and Northrop Grumman, went back to government at Defense Intelligence Agency as the chief technology officer during a period of transition. After that period of transition was over, I left and began my consultancy, formed CTOvision.com. And then most recently, with three partners, formed Cognitio Corporation, which is where we're at today.
Huh. That's amazing. It sounds so simple, but I have to admit, I have a background as a beverage consultant as well. There was a period when I got out of college, couldn't find a job, and for 4 months I worked as a beverage consultant and then found a job with a big company. But I think everyone should do that because it's humbling, and you learn you get money by listening, don't you? And that's what your job is now.
Right,
you get
absolutely.
Money by listening. So tell us about CTO Vision. That's a great place to start.
Okay. So there we write for the technologists in the enterprise who we want to forewarn of coming disruptions. If you know about the new disruptive technologies coming, they can disrupt your enterprise in a good, positive way. So we write for technologists by technologists. And we have a staff of writers and a lot of guest writers that we hand select to come in and write about the most important emerging technologies. And CTO Vision fuels several daily and weekly newsletters and a monthly tech trends report. It's at CTOvision.com.
So CTOvision.com is free, and then CTO Vision Pro is the next level up. That's a subscription-based.
Subscription-based is for the people who want more in-depth research and an ability to ask questions of our analysts and to get targeted information that will help them in their market surveys before a procurement or an acquisition. If you really want to know the right technology for your enterprise, it's a CTO Vision Pro.
And so if you're listening to this interview and people are worrying about who's going to be pitching on Sunday, you can go to CTOvision.com, see what kind of topics are trending, what's important, what's not. And believe me, it covers all the main big topics for the federal government and learn what's going on. Now, if you are of the persuasion that you want to drill down and get more, you can subscribe to the more detailed, more focused, which it costs money to put together this content, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And to reduce people's risk, you know, we give a free trial. So it's easy to start the free trial and just see if it's for you or not.
And I think that's it's a great model. I think it's fantastic. In preparing for the show, I did a lot of reading, and I read this little company called IDC. And they talk about predictions for 2015. I'm sure Bob Gourley's got predictions for 2015. And I'm reading through this little article, and I'm noticing the word change, and they're talking about something called the third platform. I said, what in the world's the third platform? And what they're talking about is the Internet of Things and very specialized information being generated and having big data based on this and people making decisions on this. I mean, so what about this third platform? Should we give any – have you read about this? Is this something of concern, or is this just another thing IDC is trying to focus on special words that they designed themselves?
Well, I think you hit a little bit on it there with the special words, but there's some very important truths there that we all need to focus on. For one, the Internet of Things is coming, whatever you call it. And right now, if you look at just the Internet-connected devices, by the year 2020, which is only 5 years away, we're going to see 64 billion Internet-connected devices.
Wow.
That's a lot. If you look, though, at just sensors, we will see more than 1 trillion sensors.
So the T. I mean, think about that.
Yes. And those things are, that is the Internet of Things. So a trillion sensors, 64 billion Internet-connected devices. And one other thing that I think all of us should be thinking about is we have not quite gotten a handle on how to secure the current Internet and the PC world and the mobile world. Do you have any belief that we're going to be able to secure the coming Internet of Things?
That's like Bob Gourley as a 16-year-old, and I give him the keys to a Corvette. Here, buddy, good luck, and here's a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we have. We have almost uncontrolled amount of information out there and more piling up. And how do we handle it? How do we filter it? I mean, maybe it is the third platform or the first platform, but I mean, these words, I mean, I've been around a long time. I remember the first hard drive was 5 megabytes in it or something. That was really a big one. Now we're talking about billions and billions of sensors out there. Now, if I'm in an airplane, I want sensors everywhere to make sure I land correctly, you know, but there's sensors now in kitchens. There's sensors now in thermostats, and they're all integrated together. I think this is a concern for me.
It should be. I think it's a concern for all of us, and the way to mitigate this is for all of us to be concerned and then take action and dialogue, and we can handle this if we take action, I'm sure. It's not too late.
Now, most of the people who subscribe to CTO Vision, obviously, are chief technology officers. Private, federal, what kind of an audience do you have?
You know, it's a good mix, but D.C. is our base. This is our home. So there's a lot of federal technologists that subscribe. A lot of the integrator technologists subscribe, including the smaller boutique integrators. And a lot of the tech firms that want to understand the mission needs of the federal government subscribe. However, we also have a growing segment of readers in Wall Street from the finance sector.
Hmm. Interesting. We looked at what trends are coming up in 2015. I'm interested in trends in the past. I looked at my 50 interviews from last year, and I ranked them and found out from the analytics we use here what's the most popular shows. And the most popular show from last year was Mike Olson and Cloudera. And the title was The Cloud, Cloudera, and the Federal Government. And that hit a nerve. I mean, that was really a popular show. And I see that you're on the Cloudera bandwagon as well and encouraging people to learn and study more about Hadoop and using big data for meaningful information on security threats.
Absolutely. You know, one thing about Cloudera is they add value, significant value, to the open source community. Their engineers and developers are always giving back to the community. And enterprise CTOs like to see that. And they also add value in providing management support and services to this Hadoop stack. So Cloudera is a real player and someone that anyone should consider. The reason I like their technology above many others in that space is they put security over Hadoop and auditing and other governance mechanisms over Hadoop. And they're the only ones that can really do that.
It's interesting. I had a guy who once rented a truck and drove to Texas, and I said, don't get a parking ticket. And he said, with U-Haul, they have a governor. You can't go over 55. And I'm thinking, well, with Hadoop, it has a governor. It has an overlay of security that prevents you from doing stupid things, I guess. You know, that might be an analogy for Hadoop, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And, you know, another analogy is if somebody does something wrong, you sure wish you could back out that mistake. Well, with technology like Hadoop, Cloudera's distribution of Hadoop, you understand who has touched the data and what they've done with it. So you can audit and you can back out any kind of mistake.
What I'd like to do is take a little break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some concepts that are also very popular from my shows from last year. And one concept is visualizing the data that you do have. And there's a couple of companies that have kind of been around for a few years and exploded here in the last couple of years. One is called Tableau. Another one's called Burst. And taking all this information and trying to generate information that executives can make decisions on, maybe security officers can make decisions on for the federal government or for commercial organizations like the financial institutions referred to. So let's take a break, talk more about big data and maybe data visualization when we get back. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Bob Borley, co-founder and partner of a company called Cognitio. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Bob Borley. He's a co-founder and partner of a company called Cognitio, and probably better known as a publisher of CTO Vision. Boy, that's an idea that caught on, huh, Bob?
Well, it did in our niche of enterprise technologists who want to know of coming technologies.
And I think we're talking about this in the break. What I see happening is that I go to these big, huge trade shows, and I'll get small groups of people that come up to me and go, you know, I don't care about the 5,000 people here. I care about the 30 people that are interested in my specific topic, 30 CTOs who manage hospitals, 30 CTOs who manage nonprofits, 30 CTOs who work for the federal government, and they just have very specific interests. And CTO Vision must hit on something because they're popular in all those areas, aren't they?
Well, we do have several niches like that, and we also try to focus on our readers and our community and making a difference for enterprise missions.
That's really important, yeah. Mm-hmm. So in addition to CTO Vision, you also do is this an annual forum, the
yes,
Synergy Forum?
The Synergy Forum.
Tell me more about that, please.
Well, Cognitio has this interesting mix of chief technology officers from the federal government and from the commercial world. And a broad, deep network of technology connections in Silicon Valley and Boston and other tech hubs. And every year we bring together these our technology network into the Synergy Forum to discuss issues of common concern, like what are the most important enterprise mission needs that are not being met with current technologies? If we know that, we can find and improve technologies to meet them. And what are the coming technologies that maybe no one in an enterprise had thought of asking for and didn't even know existed, but once they learn about it, they'll find it can change their business model. A Synergy Forum brings together all those different eclectic actors to talk about technology and its business impact.
Yeah, I think it's I think a lot of people have attempted that and failed. I think it's a hard wave to catch. And I think it's a matter of you may have to read 10 hours a day for 10 years in order to know where the waves are. And that's not finding the wave. That's know where the waves are. And then another 10 years just to catch the wave. You've done surfing. So and you've mm-hmm. caught the wave with this. This is a right place, right time. And all of a sudden, Synergy Forum, you can go to an event and grab someone like you and say, hey, come here now and tell me really about mobile security. And that's where you get the straight scoop, huh?
That's right. And so part of the secret to this is Roger Hockenberry, a former CTO in National Clandestine Service, Bob Flores, former CTO at CIA, David Hynote, a highly regarded, well-renowned business consultant, all have these deep networks in the technology and government world. And so that's part of the secret sauce, getting them into the mix.
And informal knowledge and the informal transfer of information, where it would take, you know, I've read, I don't know how many books I've read on security, but then someone like you will say, well, you know, really, here's what IPX meant back 20 years. Oh, so that's what was going on 20 years ago with IPX. I didn't know that. And you get insights that aren't obvious. And you know, I teach in a local university, and some of my students are introverts, and they think they can read everything and catch up and understand technology. You know, I think some people can, but you know, you need to have insights from some maybe person who has done 40 different things, never thought of doing. You know, I mean, what about taking security and viewing it from an international perspective? What about a European perspective? Well, they have to think about things that we never consider.
Right.
So CTO Vision is a whole lot of different things. There is a informal breakfast coming up. I noticed on your Twitter feed. On January 27th, it's bringing in a guy from Cloudera to talk about a lot of security aspects with Cloudera and Hadoop. That's interesting. What I thought fascinating about it was it brought in Intel hardware.
Yes.
Which I brought in Intel 3 months ago, and I said, okay, Intel, I've known about you for many years. What in the world are you doing in the cloud? And I was dazzled. Really? They're making servers that really can improve the performance of the cloud. So Intel is really helping with big data and authentication
they
security?
They are, and they're doing it in a lot of ways. One is they are also contributing to the software world in great ways that may be unexpected. But the hardware, they're enabling it to move data faster, which is important. And then here's something that we couldn't do without them. And I just thank them so much for doing this. They enable better, smarter encryption using their hardware and encryption accelerators.
Intel does. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes. You can encrypt the entire big data stack if you're using Intel servers and the Cloudera distribution of Hadoop together. And that's the kind of thing that Eddie Garcia will be discussing at our 27 January breakfast. Now, that's probably going to be, it is going to be small intentionally because we want to get the right brains in a room. But we're capturing all this information on the blog, too, at CTO Vision.
I think that's the key. When I saw that, I've done all these hundreds of interviews, and I've gone down some roads that were not very fruitful. I've gone down some roads, and when I thought about Intel, I said, well, geez, Intel's got a whole lot of smart people, a whole lot of money in research and development, and they're looking at this cloud. And what are they, sitting back smoking cigars? No, they're in the game, aren't they? They are really in the game, and I was just surprised. And maybe it's a story that's not that well told.
I agree. You know, they have such great engineers, and maybe they're a bit like the special forces. They serve in silence, and they're serving incredibly well, and I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. All kinds of news coming out of CES, infrastructure changes. What I found fascinating was that one of the keynotes was the Ford CEO, Mark Fields. Uh-huh. I said, now, wait a minute. Is this the wrong show? No, this is the right show. So the Ford guy is talking to CES. Do you find that a little interesting, or good or bad?
So part of it gets back to the scary discussion we had earlier about the coming Internet of Things. Our cars are already increasingly connected. Just wait until all these applications start flowing into your connected cars. And when you have so much bandwidth into your car, and wait till cars are talking to cars and cars are talking to traffic signals and deciding when to accelerate or decelerate. And then wait for the bad guys to get into that and start manipulating your sensors. And man, it should scare us all a little bit.
You know, this conversation is kind of loose flowing, and I have my notes in front of me, but my note after the keynote Ford speaker, another keynote speaker, is from Intel, a guy named Brian Kranich. I said, well, we just talked about Intel. Now we have Intel and Ford. This is kind of a strange, this is maybe a brave new world for everyone, isn't it?
Right, it is.
I never thought of connecting the dots there. When it comes to the Internet of Things, the phrase I like to use is a hot and beautiful mess. And I think it's a mess right now. And I'm very wary of it, and people are encouraging me to do more and more and wear a Fitbit and mobile devices, and I'm just maybe I'm old-fashioned or maybe I'm sensible, but I'm very wary of that. What do you think of all these devices, like Fitbits? And
here's another major piece of this transition is it used to be the physical and the cyber worlds were separate. We had our computers and networks, and then we had our separate physical infrastructure. And then, as you know, we began to automate the physical infrastructure. We have SCADA systems and other sensors there. Well, now they're merging, and that gets pretty scary because now we've seen four major incidents of cyber attacks that cause real physical damage. Think of this world 5 years from now when we have these 64 billion internet-connected devices, 1 trillion sensors, and they're connected to your physical world. What kind of physical destruction can be caused by malicious cyber attacks is the question to think about.
I was at an event and people were talking about infrastructure security. And we had a guy from NARUC, Regulatory, N-A-R-U-C, and he said, we don't worry about hackers, we worry about trees. And I said, well, that may be a little naive, I think. But he said, yeah, we just worry about trees. And this wasn't an old geezer like me. This was like a 30, 31-year-old fellow who obviously very bright, engineering background, worked for a regulatory agency for many years. And he didn't see the threat at all to his power grid going down or being attacked. He just viewed it as, you know, let's look at the incidents for the last 3 or 4 years. And this is a big problem. And oh, by the way, Gilroy, you're paranoid, man. Yeah. Is it paranoia?
You know, sometimes I hear things like that and I wonder, okay, what can I do about that? And I thought maybe I do have a tiny piece of the answer for me personally, what I need to do. Since I have a background in intelligence and cyber intelligence, I think I should help people understand the threat. And if I can help more people understand the threat, maybe they will find the right policies and transform their cultures from that kind of myopic culture to one of security awareness.
Is that why you wrote your book, Cyber Threat?
That's exactly why we wrote The Cyber Threat. It's an explanation, a true explanation of the threat without, you know, smearing fear, uncertainty, and doubt around. It's fact-based. And also, how can you use awareness of the threat to better defend your business or your organization?
I think we have to promote this book in several areas. If it distills the information you've learned over the last 30 or 40 years, I think it's going to have to be talked about people have to learn more about it. At first, I read about it on your LinkedIn profile. I didn't know. So maybe we have to get the PR folks out there beating the drum or brass band or something in downtown D.C. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about new issues in technology for 2015, what the federal government should be worried about from the CTO perspective. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we're speaking with Bob Gourley. He is the co-founder and partner of Cognitio. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Bob Gourley. He is the co-founder and partner of a company called Cognitio. Many people probably know about CTO Vision. How many folks subscribe? How many people get that newsletter every month?
Well, about 32,000.
32,000. That's not all govies. That's everyone all over the place, huh?
That is.
Do you have distribution national, international? What, do you know what the split is by any chance?
We track statistics as well as we can, and it is mostly U.S. And largely D.C. You know, this is our home. This is our base. But also a growing readership in Wall Street and Silicon Valley.
Interesting. So getting respect from the nerds, huh?
Well, yeah. we're trying to help them out.
That's
our family and our blood and our community.
It's so funny with social media. I was working for a company a couple years back, and I aggressively went after the social media, and I pounded and blogs and Twitter, and I expected business to come from Arlington, and it came from Australia. And so we had big drastic increase, 250% increase in sales from Australia and South Africa, English-speaking countries, maybe not as caught up with technology as we are. And that was the growth. And I couldn't have expected. Maybe with CTO Vision, you thought you were going to go after the local community. You get readers in Silicon Alley and Silicon Valley, huh? Mm-hmm,
right.
It's the funny thing with social media. You can't predict it, can you?
No, you can't. Although we can stay true to our principles of we want to serve those people who are in the fight, either building technology or using it in their enterprise. We want to help the people who are building and serving missions.
And if you think about big data, one good example of big data is a company like Pixar. Oh, yes, it's true. Yeah. There's healthcare data. That's big data. Well, Pixar was kind of like Pixar was doing big data before big data was cool. Right. And that must be why some people read about CTO Vision and new techniques with big data. And that's where Hadoop falls in, comes back to the beginning of the show with Hadoop. Big data, Hadoop, managing Hadoop in a secure environment. You better believe people like Sony and Pixar are worried about security now, aren't they?
That's a fact. And I'm sorry to say, but those kind of things are... It shouldn't have happened. I feel for them, but it does cause them to now focus on security in more appropriate ways.
I think it's a shame on them. I think, hey, you left the back door open. Guess what? You know, put in a deadlock now. Mm-hmm. And maybe think more carefully about some security issues that you have. When I went to CTO Vision, I looked at several topics for CTO Vision Pro. There must be 10 of them out there. One of them is green IT. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought that was a trending phrase that went down. Is still an important topic now, green IT, or is that just fizzled out?
It's important if you are interested in modernizing your infrastructure, because an IT professional is always looking for ways to improve their service to their mission. And green IT can be one of those selling points for getting the new servers that you always wanted or consolidating your data centers, because you can build a business case that says, if I get this new data center, I can get rid of 3 data centers, save energy costs, save capital equipment cost, and save money all around because it's more green. So that's why I think it's so important that we track green IT.
So the green is a dollar bill then. That's what the green is. Nothing to do with ecology.
It's also
the green's
good for
a dollar
ecology.
Bill.
It's reduce your carbon footprint and be good to the environment, which we should all love and nurture, and modernize your IT.
One of the topics for CTO Vision Pro is visualization. What are the 4 or 5 companies you like to look at in that category, that area?
Well, as an old school visualizer, I think stats and programming languages like R is extremely important. And it's you need to be able to get in and visualize data in a meaningful business way. So R is important. Tableau is really helping people visualize data in quick ways. Pentaho is one that a lot of people are not tracking as well as they should. I think Pentaho helps visualize data in ways that are actionable for your mission. Pentaho also does the back end, the extract, transform, load in a very open way, in a way that's easy to start in open source. But the visualization elements of Pentaho are just awesome.
I want to get him in the studio. I want to get him in here and ask him questions about that. But they are not as receptive as other companies. I'll have to go knock on their door and find what's going on. But I think it's a real good story to tell. I think it's an interesting topic. And it's just it's complex enough that you can have many different answers and maybe five scenarios, five use cases, five different visualization tools that are the right ones.
Right.
And how can you know unless you read about all of them? And I think that's when your CTO Vision Pros allows you to just read about four or five of them. And you don't have a dog in this fight. I don't think you own any of these companies. I think what you own is a reputation in this town for being objective. And you do, Bob. I'll say it. I mean, I don't think you're in anyone's back pocket unless there's some cash coming out of your back pocket that someone's trying to. And we talked about Intel. You're not in Intel's back pocket, neither am I. But I've been around a while. I know some of the things Intel have done, and I didn't realize that they're involved in optimizing cloud. I never dawned on me they would do that, but they really are. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this Crucial Point, what that's all about.
Crucial Point was a consultancy that I formed after after I left government. Crucial Point is now being subsumed by Cognitio. So you'll see less and less of that as it kind of fades away and Cognitio continues to ramp up.
I just went to your LinkedIn profile and I saw 10,000 words on everything you've done. I maybe have 50 of them here. So initially, it was working with venture capital, private equity companies, and giving people advice on where to make investments. Is that what that was all about?
Right. We still do quite a bit of that. We're deeply networked into the private equity world and the venture capital world.
I want to bounce back to your book and find out more about the vetting of the book and how that process all works. And during the break, you said that before the book was published, it had to have several sets of eyes take a look at it. How does that all work anyway?
Well, you know, like a lot of other government professionals, you sign contracts in your government employment saying that you will go through pre-publication review. And that book certainly did that. And it's really an easy process. I've got very lucky with the people I worked with in government. You simply submit the book to them. They review it, vet it, make sure there's nothing inappropriate or classified in there, and then give you authorization to proceed. And I got so lucky, I also got some nice editorial comments, change this word to that word to make it read better.
Are you familiar with gray hat hacking?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had Alan from Gray Hat Hacking in there, and he has some great stories to tell, too. I mean, much like you, been beat up and knocked around, got a few bloody noses and made mistakes and know who the idiots are. And all of a sudden, then, after this maturity, wisdom emerges. And I think that's where the wisdom has emerged with the cyber threat at all. The different topics at CTO Vision Pro ranges from green IT to communications to cloud computing. Is there going to be a topic on the Internet of Things also? Is that going to be a new additional one?
You know, it probably will. We already tracked in our monthly newsletter, we call out that trend specifically about the coming mashup of the physical and cyber infrastructure. So it's a very important trend to track.
During the break, we talked about something called the Threat Brief. Why don't you detail that for us, please?
So the Threat Brief is a daily publication. It's free to subscribe to at threatbrief.com. And what that does is pull together information on threats that any business executive or government executive should track on a daily basis. If you're the president, you get the president's daily brief. This is an unclassified document which gives you the same kind of insights into what threats are doing around the globe that could impact your business. So this is cyber threats, physical threats, and other things you need to be tracking.
I think anyone who's been around a while realizes that many times the headlines in the Washington Post may not be the real headlines. And then there's this little, like this parallel world where you don't have to worry about this. And this is, don't have to worry about this. This is really, really something you should worry about and put this to the top of your to-do list today. And that's what the Threat Brief does, huh?
It does. It highlights those things that are important enough for you to pay attention to for the first 15 minutes of your day.
Wow. I've got to ask you a question that is going to be an awkward question. I've been watching this company called Intel for a while, watching Microsoft for a while. And the last article I read about Microsoft was their data centers are very green. And some of their new ones are very, very efficient compared to others. I'm just wondering if Microsoft is finally getting it right. It's the old strikeout, and then the last and the ninth, two outs, they hit a home run. Are they coming on strong? Do you see a strength coming from Microsoft?
I do. And so there's maybe the analogies of pendulum swings and maybe some of these things they could have done 4 years ago. But the fact is they're moving out in so many great directions. One I personally love is you can now use any Microsoft Office product on your iPad. What a great thing. And you can also use them on your Android device. So on my Android phone, I can use Microsoft Word. On my Apple iPad, I can use Microsoft Word. And it's the same Microsoft document that I can use on my computer at home, a Mac or a PC. Great on Microsoft for doing that. I really think we all owe them a tip of the hat for that great feature.
You and I have been around long enough to know that the initial word processor of choice was WordPerfect. And Bill Gates wrote Word for guess what? For the Mac. And people don't realize that because that just happened 20, 30 years ago. Well, it really did happen. And Microsoft really was active in many different areas. And all of a sudden, it's coming back now. My wife is sitting every night looking at her iPad, and she can do things with Microsoft, which really, Janet, they were doing this 25 years ago. No, they weren't. Oh, yeah, they were. And they really were in the game. And I think they're coming back in the game. And that's what my vision is for 2015, 2016. I want to see where Microsoft is going to start helping my software developers and helping my govvies with do things cheap and do things efficiently and safely. And I really want to see what Microsoft is up to, because I think they're coming back in the game.
Another thing they do that maybe people don't realize is they have a fantastic security team and can help you secure your infrastructure better, because you need to configure your Microsoft software in secure ways, and they can really help you do that.
Let's take a break, Bob, and come back, talk more about CTO vision and security and what my govvies can expect coming up in 2015. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Bob Gourley, co-founder and partner of Cognitio. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Bob Gourley. He's a co-founder and partner of a company called Cognitio. Most people know CTO Vision and the wide-ranging information you can get there on. I don't know. I haven't seen any topic that's not covered. I mean, you're covering NASA. I mean, there's so much stuff here, isn't it? I mean, what do you? It's like, you know, have 100 people everywhere reading everything? Or how do you put together the summaries for this?
Well, the key point is focus on the enterprise technology needs. And that's a growing list of things enterprise technologists are interested in. 5 years ago, they weren't so interested in robots. Guess what? Robots are coming to the enterprise now. One thing for sure, when they break, you're going to turn to the CTO to ask for help in fixing it.
Yeah.
So this is becoming an IT concern. Robots and drones. You got to track it.
Police car technology under CTO vision. Now it's all encompassing, huh?
Right. It really is.
Here's one of the leads is police car technology improving safety and efficiency. Next one, NASA. Next one, CES 2015. That what the biggest trends will be. Talking about the Internet of Things and so many different things. I mean, the dangers of technology. You know, I think your background is in technology, but I think it's all-encompassing in many different areas. If people want to get more information for me, they can follow me at Ray Gilray, and you have a bunch of them. At Bob Gourley, is that the good one on Twitter to follow?
Right, I'll be there forever. And if you hit me up at Bob Gourley, I'll help you find the other ones, you know, Threat Brief and CTO Vision and others. But Bob Gourley is the key one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I see your image in the background there. It's kind of fascinating. He's got the whole world there. And that's your target, the whole world. Well, when I get people on the air, especially security consultants, security experts, people always come up to me and go, now that Bob Gourley, what kind of phone did he have? Oh, he's a security guy. Oh, he has a BlackBerry. Isn't that interesting? Wow. And so what I put together is a scientific 10-question test that'll find out, Bob, if in fact you are a card-carrying nerd, and it'll answer all the questions that people wonder about Bob Gourley. Well, what kind of technology is he? Oh, pencil and paper. Isn't that interesting? Good. So here's the 10 questions. Question number one. Break into your house tonight. How many old-school laptops, how many desktops do we found in your house?
Five.
Five desktops. How many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
Two.
Two? That's a good number. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's at Bob Gourley.
Gourley. Good, good. Do you have a personal blog?
I do.
You do? Yeah.
Well, you know, CTO Vision, maybe I should say no. Let's just say no.
It's an extension
CTO
of your,
Vision,
yeah.
It's become something bigger than just me. It started out as a personal blog.
Yeah. What flavor smartphone do you have?
Right now it's Android, but ask me in a week.
Oh!
I tell you, I'm about to make the switch.
Wow, I can never predict that. I don't know. Some people say I like Android because I can lock it down more efficiently. Other people go, well, no, the other ecosystem's better. It's almost Ford versus Chevy, or you know, tastes great, less filling, huh?
Right.
Well, you can switch to Apple then, huh?
I am.
Wow.
I'm going to make the switch. And part of the reason is, you know, I use the iPad and love it. I love the Android too. It's been very good to me. But Apple's just fantastic camera, and
very, very good to me. Great. And on that phone of yours, what's the most popular app in the last 30 days?
The browser, of course.
The browser itself. Okay. Yeah. Break into your house this afternoon. How many tablet devices do we find?
Six.
Wow. And what was your most recent post on Twitter, social networking?
I posted that I'm going to be hanging out with you today.
Wow, that'll be lose followers there. Followers cut in half. All of a sudden, from 20,000 to 2.
I think that's going viral, frankly.
I don't know about that. So I look on your hand. I don't see any Fitbits. Do you have any mobile fitness devices on your person?
You know what? I ordered the latest Fitbit. It showed up yesterday. I put it in a box without opening it and sent it right back. The reason why is... the newer model was announced the same day that mine was delivered, and I decided to order the newer model, which also tracks heart rate.
Oh, that's good.
But I do have the Fitbit's wireless scale, which you stand on. And
wireless scale, really? How does that work?
Well, then you configure it to work with your home Wi-Fi.
Uh-huh.
So it will communicate with the Wi-Fi, and then you give it permissions to connect to Fitbit's web service, and it logs your weight and your percent body fat. And you can track that through the day and over time. And it also works with your Fitbit device, so you're seeing how many calories you're burning and just more data on the quantified self.
Some people have told me that the Fitbits will be free because your information is much, much more valuable than any little couple of dollars you're going to throw at them for that device.
You know, it could be that it goes that route, or another route is many corporations have it in their best interest to have a healthy workforce.
Oh, Bob, we want to hire you. Okay. Yeah, well, let's see what's going on.
Here's your Fitbit, and join in the fun. And you know, and if you're open with your other coworkers, you can compete and see who gets the more steps and who uses the stairs more than the elevator and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like the app for 100 push-ups, 100 push-up app. That's interesting. Last question. Last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was electronic.
May I ask which one it was?
Yes. It was...
Don't worry about it.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's no big deal. Interesting. Yeah, I'm always fascinated by security folks and their choice of mobile devices and not choice. So you have no fear of all Fitbit? You think that's going to all kosher and not any problems, huh? Yeah, well, no in a year, huh?
No problems whatsoever.
Wow. Now, I'm fascinated how they can measure your body fat without doing an underwater scale and everything. They just estimate?
They're using the least accurate way. Mm-hmm. They're using a combination of the impedance between sensors of your left foot and your right foot. So they run an electric charge through you, not enough to make you jump off the scale, but enough to measure the impedance that's just supposed to give you a percentage of water and body fat and bone and skin. And from that, they calculate the body fat percentage.
Oh, really?
And that's not very accurate, but it's something.
Yeah, the BMI for me and my son, we're officially way off the scale, but I don't know. I mean, it's just body density and fat. It's a tough topic for me to understand, and I'm trying to understand the whole idea behind technology in the future. And I'm trying to figure out where the federal government's going to go. I look at my last shows for the last year, 2 or 3 years. Everyone's interested in healthcare IT and big data and mobile devices. That's the trending shows. And a recent trend that I've noticed is distance education. That's a trend that's coming up too, because many of my govies may want to learn about security, and they may have the time, or they may have two little babies at home or can't take classes, and so they want to do online learning. And so one trend I see is this whole idea of online learning and security information. Is that a road that CTO Vision is going to go down, education and training, or where's CTO Vision going to go?
We are thinking, keep things short, sweet, succinct, serve our community. What our community needs now is forewarning of technologies that are coming that they need to be planning for, and a planning guidance for their enterprise architectures. If there's a pull for us to do more of this training and education, we'll certainly support and move in that direction.
Under CTO Vision Pro, one of the categories is communications. That means everything from PBXs to encryption satellites. So what kind of topics do you focus in under the category of communications?
Keeping with our theme, we try to look for the disruptive things. So what kind of things can cause an enterprise communications infrastructure to be dramatically improved? For example, software-defined networking, where you can use software to do your routing and control, not necessarily tied to any one particular hardware vendor. So software-defined networking is a big thrust for us.
Number 10 last year, made the top 10 list, SDN, software-defined networks. So I'm called up F5 Networks. I said, come on down. You're popular, so you get to be on the air again. That is hot, isn't it? Software-defined networks.
It really is. And everybody's into it now. Even the old, slower router providers are into it also. So you can go now to Big Cisco and say, what are you guys doing in software-defined networking? And they have a story and a delivery there.
Yeah. What I see, the big picture, I think, is we know theoretically the government's supposed to reduce the number of data centers. We know that. But I think the emphasis is on data centers, but cloud data centers. And I see people moving of all places to Cleveland and setting up big, huge clouds in Cleveland because it's a cheap place and a centralized place. Cooling isn't high. Yeah. I mean, the logic that wouldn't have held 10 years ago is suddenly holding for a lot of data centers and cloud technologies, isn't it?
Yes, it is. In fact, one thing that every CTO will tell you can put it anywhere as long as I have path. Mm-hmm. They need path with a very low latency that's going to be reliable and get to wherever it is quickly.
I see this strange configuration of healthcare IT, HIMSS, the Cleveland Clinic, a need for data, big data, big data analytics. And all of a sudden, I see data centers being formed in Cleveland near the Cleveland Clinic, and cooling issues are because it's not very hot there. I never thought of that would be the solution to some challenges involved just in data centers and cloud computing. But it's funny places. You'd never think that would actually be a good place, huh?
Right.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I know Microsoft's got a big facility outside of Chicago. Maybe that's the same reason because of it doesn't get very hot up there. I guess that's the reason for that. Well, in 30 seconds, Bob, tell me what's going to happen. The federal government, get rid of all these old funky desktops. Everyone's going to have a tablet. Well, what's the next 5 years going to bode for us?
You know, for federal government employees, I think one thing that everybody needs to watch out for is the continued cyber threat. They're going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And every individual needs to know, when do I need to call my IT department and say, this looks kind of strange. So for federal IT over the next 5 years, the cyber threat will remain. And I'm sorry to say that. There's other technologies that will be making life a lot easier as they're adopted by the federal government. The ability to do things mobile away from the office is just going to increase year after year after year. So there'll be more use of tablets and smart devices, certainly.
I'm reading this thing, and from my notes, threat brief daily. I can remember years ago where antivirus manufacturers would mail me a floppy disk with the signatures for the antivirus and update my antivirus that way. Remember that?
Yes.
I tell my kids that, and they just roll on the floor laughing. Uh-huh. They go, wait a minute, this thing's going to change 30 times before the floppy disk ever gets there. So that's kind of interesting how it's a threat brief daily now, maybe hourly, huh?
Well, wow. You know, now that you mention it, as we post these things, they go out on Twitter instantly.
Yes.
And our Twitter following on Threat Brief is growing. It's our fastest growing Twitter property is at Threat Brief.
Yeah. Maybe a zero-day attack will be put on the shelf. There's no such thing as zero hour, yeah. 0 minute or something. We've got to end the interview. I'd like to have you come back and talk more about technology and security in the future. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Bob Gourley, co-founder and partner of a company called Cognitio. Thanks, Bob.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.